And there's a bit of good news about the battle against Ebola. Liberia and Sierra Leone appear, keyword there, appear to be turning a corner on Ebola. But neighboring Guinea still faces challenges. Some people there still hide people suffering from Ebola at home, and unsafe traditional burial rituals are helping the virus spread. 60% of Ebola cases in Guinea are related to those burials, according to the World Health Organization. NPR's Ophebia Quist-Arkton traveled to Guinea's third largest city, where the country's leading Muslim cleric is calling on people to adopt safer funeral practices.
Kindia is an important city and a major crossroads in Guinea, a country the size of Oregon. But Kindia has had its fair share of fear and suspicion about Ebola. Over the weekend, Guinea's grand imam, Elhadji Mamadou Saliou Camara, gathered together hundreds of his fellow clerics and read the riot act in the local language, Susu.
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu
Akbar! With Ebola, you have to do more, roars the barrel-bellied cleric with his white beard and moustache, distinguished in a snow-white bubu, the traditional flowing gown of West Africa. Elhadji Camara tells his fellow imams that Guinea must adapt if its customs mean people are dying of Ebola. He repeated this after his address in an interview with NPR.
La religion musulmane ne recommande pas de toucher un corps.
There is nothing in the Quran that says you must wash, kiss, or hold your dead loved ones. I agree, tradition is important, but everyone must find a way to respect the dead and observe burial rites without putting themselves or anyone else in danger of catching Ebola.
It may not seem an obvious partnership, but the American ambassador to Guinea has linked up with the Grand Imam to fight Ebola. Alex Lascaris says the answer to stopping the spread of the virus won't come from outsiders. He says it takes leadership, with the Grand Imam and others playing a key role.
One of the things I tell people about Guinea is the state is weak and has been weakened over time through poor management. The society is very strong. And I think in contrast to Liberia and Sierra Leone, where the wars destroyed everything, the fabric of traditional leadership in Guinea, whether it's religious or customary, is really strong, and these guys get respect the old-fashioned way by earning it.
Headmaster Karamba Salim Diaby is also an imam. He says many people deny the existence of Ebola because they claim not to have seen anyone dying of the hemorrhagic virus. Others, he says, blame foreigners for importing Ebola into Guinea through ignorance.
They just accuse, you know, you Western people for injecting this virus into Guinea and Liberia and Sierra Leone. You know, there is a confidence crisis between the population and the government. So they don't believe in them, so that they think that the Red Cross, when they come, they try to contaminate people. So this is why they resist against this Ebola's problem.
To muku waline mukubirin Ebola fera.
The U.S. ambassador also addressed the assembled imams in Susu and French. Lascaris spent the past week traveling around southern Basse-Côte, the lower coastal area of Guinea that includes Kindia and other areas of persistent denial and resistance to Ebola. He says he learned that there can be no change unless Guinea's customs are honored.
And above all, it involves an absolute respect for the rituals of death. And one of the areas we've had problems in Basse-Côte was the perception that some of the safe burial teams were less than fully respectful of religious tradition and of cultural tradition. There is no future for Ebola treatment in Guinea if we're not checking that box.
That's why Lascaris says he's here meeting the religious leaders. Burial teams are dispatched to ensure that dead bodies, still toxic with Ebola, are safely removed from homes and treatment centers. But unsafe burials continue, proving a challenge to the government's target of zero Ebola cases by mid-March. Those caught hiding Ebola patients or carrying out secret burials could face prosecution. Sitting behind rows and rows of imams in caps and colorful bubus, women wearing white listened attentively to their male religious leaders. Women are the principal caregivers of people kept at home who may be Ebola sufferers. Adja Bintu Conte is a mother of five. Adja Conte believes Ebola exists and says she shares that message in her community, but that it'll take time to persuade some naysayers. The Grand Imam says he's confident that he and fellow religious leaders will gain confidence of people currently in denial about Ebola. But he admits it's a battle.
Avec l'engagement des imams, des œuvres religieuses, peut-être, inshallah.
The Imam's ally, U.S. Ambassador Lascaris, says they're learning how best to relay that message.
Radio's important here. The internet is not a factor. This is old school, pre-digital diplomacy. It's making contact eye to eye, person to person, sitting under the mango tree. And it's also listening to people's fears and finding out what is motivating young people to throw stones, women to bar us from entering their houses. In the meantime, Ebola, you know, it's like a forest fire. You got to get every single ember out, because that one ember you forget can reignite the whole thing in Guinea and in the region.
The same sentiment you hear across Guinea's borders in Sierra Leone and Liberia. Ofebia Quistockton, NPR News, Kindia.